Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center and renowned nutrition and fitness expert, and Michelle King Robeson, founder of EmpowHer.com and leading women's advocate. Cut through the confusion and share the naked, bottom line truth about all things woman. It's Her Radio.
All right, Michelle, put that Twitter down right now, and I'm going to stop my Facebook right now, because I've heard that social media is unhealthy, for crying out loud. And I'm a doctor. I'm all about health and everything else. All right, so is social media unhealthy? You know, there's so much kicking around right now. Let's learn more from Dr. Joanne Cantor, who is a researcher, author, and professional speaker. Her website is Your Mind on Media, and the book is Conquer Cyber Overload, Get More Done, Boost Your Creativity, and Reduce Stress. Dr. Cantor, welcome to Her Radio. We're very excited to have you on. And tell us, are we spending too much time on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites?
Well, many of us are, and I want to say at the start that social media isn't inherently unhealthy. You got to be careful, though, how you use it, because there are some positive and some negative effects of social media. But if you let it go on too long, if it dominates your life, it's definitely unhealthy.
And I think it's dominating lives.
How is it playing with our interpersonal relationships?
You know, it's interesting, because we have to compare our Facebook relationships to our face-to-face relationships. And in many ways, our Facebook relationships fall way down low in terms of their quality and their richness. I mean, just think about how face-to-face differs from digital. And first of all, face-to-face, when you're talking to somebody face-to-face, you hear their voice, you can see their facial expressions and gestures, their eye contact. They can even touch you if that's appropriate. And when we talk to somebody face-to-face, it's immediate. They're right there, and they answer you right away. So it's adaptable also. When you're talking to someone face-to-face, you can see if they're really getting upset with what you're telling them. You can kind of scale back and explain a little better and that sort of thing. And so many of our digital connections don't allow us to do that. You know, we just tweet out a message, or we text something, and then the other person gets it, and they can't tell that you're joking or that you're sorry or whatever. They just get it, and it hits them in the face. And so this ability to adapt our messages to the person that we're talking to becomes less and less as we move away from face-to-face and we take these other methods.
Right.
Sometimes it's better to text, you know. If we just want to say, I'm running 5 minutes late, you know, a text is much better. It takes much less time, and it slows you down in getting there. So, my big messages is to decide, you know, to choose your method of communication based on what the goals are.
Right. So let's talk about virtual friends, right? Because this is a big thing on Facebook. And so do virtual friends lead to more happiness, or does greater connectedness sometimes lead to less true connection, like real connection?
Well, you know, that's an important point. You know, Facebook and things like that, and I know Facebook is already, you know, moving out as everything else, you know, each new technology moves in so fast. We have Instagram and all these other things. But Facebook is one-to-many instead of one-to-one. And that affects what you say. At least it should affect what you say.
Yes.
You're not going to tell everybody, hopefully, you know, how upset you were about a slight insult yesterday. You tell that to a close friend, hopefully, and not to everybody. And so when you put something on Facebook, you homogenize it, and you don't tell everybody. You go on a vacation. I'm going to tell my best friend different things about my vacation than I am going to tell my great aunt, you know. But if we use Facebook, then we're not getting our giving the right messages to the right people. Now, what research shows is that that Facebook can help you maintain ties and grow ties with close friends more than it can get you new friends. Okay, but and it also shows that if you look at your own Facebook profile, it can boost your self-esteem and good feelings. But if you look at other people's profiles, it tends to bring it down because everybody seems to make themselves look a little bit better than they really are.
Well, that's true. And then there's also some research out there that has shown that I found, you know, a little scary and of concern, and that is when young women, basically adolescents and going into their early adulthood, are really at that really tough time in their life when they're looking at body image and who they are and self-consciousness, that when they're looking at other pictures of other girls and teenagers and young adults their age, who look better than they do in their estimate, then it tends to have their self-esteem and self-worth plummet. And it tends to be very deleterious on body image. Have you seen this as well?
Yes, I've seen that too. And also, a lot of people touch up their photos on Facebook. So they look better than they actually are.
No, wait a minute.
Are.
I do that all the time. Is there something wrong with that, Michelle? Well, I mean, you told me that was okay.
I did.
Well, I think
I taught you how to do it.
I think it's fine if everybody knows that. But if some
wait a minute, can
you
say Adobe?
Teenagers might not. but if some young teenagers don't know that necessarily, and they're likely to feel bad for themselves. Anyway, research on health shows that a few close, repeated interpersonal relationships are much more conducive to not only feelings of well-being but physical health than a lot of these superficial relationships. And one of the problems with Facebook is if people are spending too much time on Facebook and it's taking away from their development of, or time, even the time they have to develop in nice, close interpersonal relationships. And by the way, the other thing that I have to bring up and that I talk about a lot in my book, Conquer Cyber Overload, is that often our face-to-face communications are interrupted constantly by our cell phones. And so if you're talking to somebody and then you keep getting interrupted by your cell phone, that first of all gives a message to the other person that they're not that important. And it also just interferes with the flow of a good conversation or a good, or a very positive experience. And so so if you're thinking about health, learn to focus on those good interpersonal attachments that face to face is so important for. Digital can add to that, when you can't be together, but don't let it substitute for that because it's not going to be good for your mental health or your physical health.
You know, it's so important. I think that all of us would agree that at the end of the day, there's nothing that substitutes for a face-to-face and a good, rich ability to be able to interact. And there are ways and benefits of social media without sacrificing personal fulfillment. Dr. Joanne Cantor has helped us understand why social media could possibly be unhealthy, but it doesn't have to be. Her book is Conquer Cyber Overload, Get More Done, Boost Your Creativity, and Reduce Stress. Dr. Cantor, thank you so much. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, along with Michelle King Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.